Hello, this is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, January 9th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Stewards of Their Own Health, Infectious Diseases, Doctors Weighs In on How to Avoid Falling Ill, and this is written by Kegla White. Flu season is officially upon us as the state's overall respiratory illness level has risen from moderate to high, according to recent report by the Illinois Department of Human Resources, known as IDPH. According to Dr. Douglas Casper, an infectious diseases physician with the University of Illinois College of Medicine at Peoria, influenza A is at the top of the list. Influenza. The rate of positive is highest right now with influenza A tests, and it's by a factor of 10 over what we're seeing for COVID-19, Casper said. That means 10 times as many people are testing positive for influenza A than for COVID-19. Avian flu, or H5N1, another strain of influenza, claimed the life of a person in Louisiana on Monday, but such infections are rare. Avian flu is most often transmitted from infected birds or cattle to humans, but not from person to person, according to the Centers for Disease and Control and Prevention, known as CDC. Influenza A presents with symptoms which can vary from person to person. Most often, these symptoms include a stuffy nose, cough, sore throat, headache, trouble breathing, fever, and congestion. Influenza B, which is the less common, can cause high fevers, coughing, body aches, chills, and fatigue. The good news is that this season's vaccines protects people from both major strains of influenza, type A and type B, Casper said. The vaccines that are available do have strains of influenza A and influenza B in them, and that does remain our best modality to prevention, Casper said. If you have not been vaccinated, it is still appropriate to get vaccination. Prevention remains the best option. Someone infected with influenza has the option to take an antiviral, such as Tamiflu, a prescription drug that attacks the virus to keep it from spreading. Symptoms should start to alleviate 7 to 10 days after they appear. And then I have to change places here. So people in central Illinois are 10 times more likely to test positive for COVID-19 than other respiratory viruses, according to Casper. 5 years after COVID-19 first arrived in the United States, the virus has mutated several times. The Omicron variant has been around for a little more than 2 years, Casper said. Even so, the virus continues to mutate throughout the year, and those changes mean vaccines have to change too. There have been changes that are still important, and that's why the vaccine for COVID-19 was updated in September of this year, Casper said. Just as the flu can be treated by Tamiflu, someone with COVID-19 may be able to take an antiviral like Paxlovid. Because the symptoms of influenza and COVID-19 can sometimes overlap, most clinics and hospitals will test patients for all three at the same time using the same specimen, Casper said, adding it's safe to receive both a COVID-19 and influenza test at the same time. Over-the-counter medicines. In November of 2024, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, known as FDA, recommended pulling over-the-counter cold medicines, citing infectiveness of their key ingredients, phenylephrine, in treating nasal condition. This is good news, according to Casper, as it indicates continued vigilance. Medicines is always a moving target, so sometimes over the years we do change options, or we ask, are we sure we're doing this the best we can, Casper said. When we update, we have new information. It's the it's like updating your iPhone. You want to it to be the best version it can be. Though the FDA is proposing removing these meds from shelves, they are still safe to take according to the proposal. When to seek medical care. Most illnesses will resolve on their own as long as someone maintains a healthy, nutritious diet and gets plenty of hydration and rest, according to Casper. The human body is much more evolved than the medicines that we offer, so the body is set up to fix itself, Casper said. Fevers, as uncomfortable as they can be, are a sign that the body is working as it should by fighting the virus. The problem arises when our immune system's response to a threat becomes a threat itself. It's time to seek medical care when a fever of 102 degrees Fahrenheit persists, or when someone has been unable to eat or use the bathroom for 2 days, Casper said, as they can cause lasting damage. During a period of illness, anorexia is normal. Your body doesn't want to eat. You're fatigued and food doesn't sound good, Casper said. But if you pass that 2-day window and you're really not perking back up, that's when it's time to involve somebody else to help guide you through what's going on. This is especially true for the elderly, young, and those with underlying medical conditions. It's important to eat healthy and to get the nutrients our body needs to heal, but at the end of the day, it's all about adequate calorie intake, Casper said. That's a baseline number of calories your body needs, and that differs from person to person. We prefer that those calories come from nutrient-rich products. However the person wants to do that, Casper said. If you love raw cabbage, eat it. If you're more of a fan of berries, that's fine too. Stewards of health. The most important advice Casper has for people to take charge of their health and to be proactive. Those issues aren't going to go away next fall. You're going to hear stories about updates and vaccine recommendations that are available. For example, he said, aside from increased hand washing and being sure to disinfect common areas, Casper suggests taking precautions like getting vaccinated ahead of major events like weddings or before traveling out of the state or out of the country. We'd like the individuals to become the stewards of their own health, and we'd like them to have some sense that these things are coming and they can control it, he said. Next story is titled, 7-Point Dispensary Petitions City of Danville for Consumption Room, again written by Kegla White. Vermilion County residents may soon have access to another safe place to consume cannabis products. 7-Point Dispensary and Vinyl Store is petitioning the city of Danville for permission to open its consumption room. At Tuesday's first city council meeting of the year, Pedro Linares, a supervisor at 7-Point, came before the council to offer public comment on what it's like to work at a dispensary, as well as reasons he hopes they approve their request. A graduate of Schlarman Academy, Linares has lived in Danville for the past 15 years. I know there's a stereotype that goes with the cannabis, but I didn't realize until I started working at this dispensary how many people actually get the proper help that they need. It's amazing, he said, adding that he sees customers all the time coming in from Indiana who have been sent there by doctors for help with pain management. I am passionate about helping people and offering people a safe place to consume. A safe place to stay would take things at the next step, he said. You see a lot of people just out and about using and not the safest way to go about. Now I have to change pages again, sorry. Aside from selling cannabis products, 7-Point also sells snacks from local vendors, Linares said. We had so many snacks and different products that are non-infused from local companies that make these snacks, so we are trying to support the community in any way possible, he said. Linares ended by inviting aldermen to visit the dispensary and get a look at the consumption room themselves, as it's already been built, but it's currently being used for events and to host the Danville Farmers Market 2 Saturdays a month. Seven Point will have a chance to present their official proposal to the City Planning Commission on February 6th at its regular meeting. If their proposal is accepted that night, it will go to the City Council, who will hold the final say. Whatever image people have of a dispensary, it's not that, said Amy Lee, COO of 7 Point. It's very professional and organized. It's lively. It's just really great environment, and you have to visit it and come and see. Also on the front page is a quick blurb about Vermilion County Courthouse receiving new windows, and there's a picture of a Northeast Glazing employee operates a crane outside a third-story window at the Vermilion County Courthouse in Danville. And this is, again, written by Kegla White. Work crews continue replacing windows on the Rita B. Garman Vermilion County Courthouse Wednesday, January 8th. An employee of Thornborough Companies removed old windows. A crew from Northeast Glazing installed new high efficiency windows. These upgrades are part of a $7.5 million budget package, which includes also replacing the boilers in the courthouse and replacing most windows in the Vermilion County Administration Building that were approved by the Vermilion County Board in summer of 2024. Calls to Steve Miller, board chairman, regarding how long the process will take were not answered by the press time. And then there's another picture. An employee of Northeast Glazing operates a crane outside the Vermilion County Courthouse Wednesday. In the foreground, broken windows lay along the side of the building. Resi Hat Tower in the background will be demolished later this year. And then another one that says employees of Northeast Glazing move new windows onto a dolly to install in the first floor of the Vermilion County Courthouse. Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Gerald Jerry R. Block, 86, of Danville, passed away at 9.05 p.m. on January 3rd at Accolade Healthcare in Danville. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Thursday, January 16th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Matt Filiski will officiate. Burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park and Military Rights Accorded to by the American Legion, Post 210 Honor Guard. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, January 15th at the funeral home. Edward Wayne Ed Allison, age 79, of Williamsport, Indiana, passed away at 1:07 a.m. on January 7th at Ascension St. Vincent in Williamsport. Visitation will be held at Grady Funeral Home in Williamsport on Saturday, January 11th from 11 until funeral service at 1 p.m. with Reverend Charles B. Anderson officiating. Interment will follow at West Lebanon Cemetery. Memorial contributions may be made to the NRA, 11250 Wapples, WAPLES, Mill Road, Fairfax, Virginia, 22030. Patricia Jane Marble Smith Claypool, 89, of Danville, passed away on January 7th at Fountain Springs in Covington, Indiana. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 11th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Dr. Dale Danil will officiate. Burial will be in Walnuts Corner Cemetery. Visitation will be on Friday, January 10th at the funeral home from 4 to 7 p.m. Memorials may be made in Pat's memory to the Newell Township Historical Society or the Eliana Genealogical and Historical Society. And Barbara Ann Loda, 84, of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, originally from Covington, Indiana, passed away on December 29th, and a gathering will be held at Walker's Funeral Home at 11680 U.S. Highway 15, 501 North in Chapel Hill on Saturday, January 4th from 12 to 2 p.m. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 11th at Mount Hope Cemetery in Covington, Indiana, where she will be buried next to her parents with Jimmy Dowers officiating. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be sent to the North Carolina Symphony. Next story is titled DACC Received 2024 USDA Grant. Grants applications open with focus on distance learning telemedicine. U.S. Department of Agriculture, U.S. or known as the USDA Rural Development, Illinois State Director Pam Monetti is encouraging submission of grant applications to improve access to remote education and healthcare in rural and tribal communities. USDA is making approximately $40 million in funding available under the Distance Learning and Telemedicine, known as DLT Grant Program. Danville Area Community College was a 2024 recipient. DACC received a $468,000 investment to purchase and install people plus content dedicated classrooms, mobile classrooms, and small setting huddle rooms. Instructors will deliver dual credit classes, shared high school courses, and other educational opportunities, as well as mental health and substance abuse prevention education and counseling, professional development for teachers, counselors, and school staff, and other beneficial services for schools and the community. The project will provide these opportunities to five locations, benefiting 1,537 students and rural residents. I am thrilled to announce the continued funding of this program, says Monetti. The DLT program helps ensure students and rural communities have access not only to high-quality remote education, but mental health and telemedicine services that are essential to a community's health and well-being. This program funds distance learning and telemedicine equipment like audio and video equipment. These funds will help digitally connect people to education, training, and healthcare resources that are otherwise unavailable or limited in remote parts of the country. For example, DLT funding expands opportunities for students to participate in classes that may be in locations too far to access in person. Teachers to provide their expertise, training, and educational services to students across the country. Patients to seek specialized care and treatment from medical professionals without needing to leave their homes and communities. Eligible applicants include state and local governmental entities, federally recognized tribes, nonprofits, and for-profit businesses. USDA is particularly interested in applications that will help rural communities recover economically through more and better marked opportunities and through improved infrastructure. Also, ensure all rural residents have equitable access to rural development, known as RD programs, and benefit from RD-funded projects and reduce climate pollution and increase resilience to the impacts of the climate change through economic support to rural communities. Applications must be submitted electronically through grants.gov no later than March the 6th. Next story is titled Debunking Myths on Cost, Time, and Value of College Education. And this is written by a Marina Farbervov at Stacker News. Reading the news today, you might wonder if earning a college degree is still worth the investment. With stories of declining enrollment, rising student debt, and the growing success of high-profile entrepreneurs who skipped college altogether, it's no surprise many are questioning the value of a degree. Yet, despite these concerns, college remains a smart choice for most people. In this article, Study.com separates fact from fiction, debunking myths, exploring affordable pathways, and showing how college may still be a valuable investment in your future. Myth number one, college is always expensive and leads to insurmountable debt. The fact is, while traditional four-year colleges can come with a hefty price tag, there are numerous strategies to manage and reduce higher education costs. Community colleges, also known as two-year colleges, offer a cost-effective start with the potential to transfer credits to a four-year institution. The average yearly cost of tuition at a community college is approximately $3,990 per year compared to $11,000 per academic year for an state public four-year institution and approximately $42,000 for a private nonprofit four-year college. A wealth of scholarships and grants are also available to help offset costs, and they don't need to be repaid. To take full advantage of these, remember to fill out the AFSA to see what government aid may be eligible for. Myth number two, college is too large of a time commitment for working adults. The fact is, it's true that working adults would likely find it challenging to complete a traditional full-time on-campus college program while also managing a job and family responsibilities. The good news is that many higher education programs now cater specifically to working adults, offering flexible and streamlined paths to a degree. Online education has revolutionized learning by offering the flexibility to attend classes and study outside of conventional weekday hours. For instance, many online programs provide asynchronous learning, enabling students to earn transferable college credits at their own pace on their own schedule. Additionally, with year-round enrollment options, working adults can start and progress through their programs whenever it best suits them. This flexibility makes college a realistic and achievable goal for those balancing work, family, and education. Myth number three, a college degree is unnecessary for a well-paying job. Fact, while some careers like trades, real estate, and certain tech roles can offer success without a degree, the broader data shows a clear advantage for degree holders. According to a 2023 U.S. Career Institute study, high school graduates on average earn about $38,000 annually in comparison to those with a diploma who average $28,000. But the earning potential rises in further education, where associate degrees bring around $46,100 annually and bachelor's degrees holders average $59,600, which is more than double the earnings compared to those not holding a degree. And this income gap tends to increase with career progression. College degrees not only help attain higher initial salaries, but they also open doors for long-term career growth. In fact, many employers prioritize candidates with a degree for leadership roles and careers advancement opportunities. The chance to move up the ladder or switch to a more lucrative field becomes much easier with a degree in hand. Myth number four, it's too late to start college when you're older. The fact is, higher education is not just for the young today. Today, many students are returning to college at different stages of life. According to NCES, in the fall of 2021, about 6.4 million students aged 25 and older were enrolled in an undergraduate program in the United States. If you have work or family responsibilities, flexible learning options make it easier than ever to balance your education with other commitments. With online college courses, you can study on your own terms, fitting education around your schedule rather than the other way around. Even if you missed starting college earlier due to financial constraints, responsibilities, or other reasons, it's never too late. Wherever you are in life, earning a degree can open doors to career advancement, promotions, or learning new skills. Plus, your life experience gives you a unique perspective, allowing a deeper understanding of course material and making your learning journey even more rewarding. And myth number five, college education does not justify the cost. Fact, it's true that the cost of college education can seem daunting. The average total cost of attendance for first-time full-time degree certificate-seeking undergraduate students at a public university in the 2022-23 school year is $27,146, including cost of living on campus, according to the National Center for Education Statistics, or NCES. Given this sizable figure, it's easy to see why some might question whether a college degree is worth the investment. However, when we compare the cost of degree to earning potential, the return on investment becomes clear. The average median income for a bachelor's degree holder across the lifetime, their lifetime, is $2.8 million, meaning that in many cases, degree holders can earn up to 100 times the cost of their degree. Moreover, the value of a college degree education extends well beyond its immediate costs. Students gain access to a wealth of resources, networking opportunities, and mentorship that can pave the way for future success. These opportunities, combined with the long-term financial benefits, make investing in higher education truly a worthwhile endeavor. And this story was produced by thestudy.com and reviewed by and distributed by Stacker. Next one's grant application open for 501c3 organizations. The grant application process is open for the Iroquois Federal Foundation. The foundation has identified five areas that it emphasizes in support of affordable housing, education, health and human services, youth programs, and general community improvement. Grant applications must demonstrate Section 501(c)(3) status and relevance to the foundation's areas of giving. Questions about the grant applications or for other information can be directed to Ashton Barrett at 201 East Cherry Street in Watseka, or by calling 815-432-2476. The grant applications are also available online at www.iroquoisfed.com under the IF Foundation, found under the About section. The Iroquois Federal Foundation was established in July of 2011, and since that time, the foundation has awarded over $3 million in 501c3 organizations in the Illinois counties of Champaign, Iroquois, Kankakee, and Vermilion, as well as the Osage Beach, Missouri area. There's just one quick news brief, community brief. It's Critter Breakfast Planned. The Vermilion County Conservation District will host a free Critter Breakfast program at the Gannett Education Center in Forest Glen Preserve on Saturday, January 11th from 10 to 11 a.m. Discover how the naturalists feed and care for the animal ambassadors at Forest Glen. Participants will get to meet snakes, a frog, and a toad, and see them eat. Admission is free. Call 217-662-2142 for more information. Forest Glen Preserve is located at 20301 East 900 North Road in Westville, Illinois. Just got a minute now, so let's do Illinois lottery numbers. The pick 3 is 359, pick 4 midday is 3281, lucky days 3, 10, 11, 20, 23, and the lotto jackpot is $8.45 million. Wouldn't that be nice? In Indiana, it's the pick 3 is 739, the pick daily 4 is 2763. Lotto jackpot is $37 million. Powerball jackpot is $240 million. Mega Millions jackpot is $77 million. I would love that. So that'll be it for today, Thursday, January 9th, 2025. Jimmy Carter gets buried today, so sad day for that. But 100 years old, that's pretty amazing. I hope you all have a good week. It's supposed to be pretty cold, so bundle up out there. So have a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.